What we have observed in our previous trial is that there are an improvement of 2 to 3 points of improvements in feed conversion when we use the alpha-galactosidase, and also we see some improvements in amino acid digestibility. That will be around 3%, and also we observe some improvements in ileal digestibility. However, the major improvements we observe in diets that are reducing energy and reducing amino acids.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. BASF provides sustainable, high-performing ingredients that enhance the quality and productivity of your poultry feed. Kerry, proven on the farm, trusted on the plate. Kerry is where technology is made. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics, where we talk about the latest research in industry trends in poultry nutrition. My name is Sam Rochel. I'm a co-host of the show and associate professor here at Auburn University. And today I'm actually joined by a colleague here in my department and good friend, Dr. Wilmer Pacheco, who's widely known for his work and mainly in feed processing, but he works in a lot of different areas, including enzymes. So we're going to talk a little bit about all of that today. So Wilmer, great to have you and look forward to learning from you today.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for the invitation. And it is a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, again, you host another podcast. You've had some other recordings. So I think a lot of our audience probably know who you are. But can you start us off just giving a little brief background about your professional history and kind of what you're up to now?
Yes. Well, I am from Honduras, and I obtained a BS in food science from the Pan American School of Agriculture, also known as Zamorano, in 2005. And soon after my graduation, I moved to the U.S. to North Carolina to start a manager trainee program with Smithfield. So I was in the manager trainee for a year, and then I was promoted as an IGF supervisor, and I was responsible to oversee the production of around 10,000 tons of pelleted feed per week. And then in 2019, I received a scholarship from the Department of Poultry Science at NC State, where I did my my master in poultry science and then my PhD in nutritional physiology in NC State. I finished in 2014, and then in March 2015, I moved to Auburn, and basically my team does research in understanding the interrelationship between feed milling and nutrition, particularly on in broiler performance.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, I think a lot of people have seen you throughout this. Obviously, you have an extension appointment, so you do a lot of outreach and both in the U.S. and also internationally, too. I know you see a lot of feed mills and have had a lot of experience there. So,
yep.
Yeah. Great, man. Well, we're going to talk a little bit today about enzymes. I know you've worked a lot over the last, since I've been here and even before that, in enzymes. I know a lot of your work in enzymes probably started, and maybe we can talk a little about stability too in the feed mill, because that's a big part of it when we talk. But, you know, I know you've worked a lot with different carbohydrates, particularly. So you can talk a little bit about just some of the where you're going on enzymes and where you've been.
Yeah. And as you were mentioning, Sam, we have done a lot of research with enzyme stability at the feed mill. And this is because, you know, like the feed mill that we have here at Auburn, it provides a lot of flexibility because we have the conditioner. But, you know, after the conditioner, we have the ionizer. And that allows us to make like different changes, you know, from changing, you know, conditioning temperature and then retention time. And that allows us to collect samples after the conditioner and then after the ionizer and then after the pellet mill. And that allows, you know, like the companies to know how stable are their enzymes under different conditions. We have even done research, you know, adding more water in the mixer to add more stress to the enzyme. But you know what I can tell you with the enzymes is that they are becoming more heat stable. That those are good news. We typically in the U.S. we pellet around 190 Fahrenheit degrees, which is 88 Celsius degrees, and enzymes are pretty stable under those conditions. What you see typically is like 1 minute retention time. And that's what we do at the feed mill. But also, you know, my team has been doing research with exogenous enzyme, particularly with silanase and with alpha-galactosidase.
Yeah. So, you know, I know there's a lot of different carbohydrates out there. I would say xylanase is particularly in the U.S. and probably globally are the most, you know, that's the most common substrate that we're trying to tackle. But I know you've done a lot of work with alpha-galactosidase containing enzymes. Well, this is something we've done some in my lab too, you know, looking at the effects of the galacto-oligosaccharides from soy. I mean, I remember Dr. Dozier doing some of this work when I was a master's student. I followed up. So we know that there's a clear impact of those particular carbohydrates on energy utilization. And and soybean meal, you know, provides, you know, 5 to 7% of those specific sugars. So can you talk about some of your research approaches to looking at those enzymes?
Yeah. Like you were mentioning, Sam, if we look the metabolizable energy in soybean meal, it's going to be about 2450, right, kcals per kilogram. But when we look at the gross energy, it's over 4,000 kcals per kilogram. So there are a lot of opportunities for improvement there. The research that my student Joseph Gulitzia has been doing is with alpha-galactosidase. And basically, how we are approaching that research is making changes on the inclusion level of the enzyme. We have just 0.1 and 0.2 grams per kilogram. And we also are making changes on the energy level. So typically, there are some diets where we use the recommended energy levels by the company, by Aviagen in this case, because we use typically raw 7-OA. And then we have a negative control that is going to have like a lower energy. Typically, we reduce the energy by 100 kcals per kilogram. And the other approach that we are following is also reducing the amino acid digestibility. Some of the research that we have done is with 96% of the recommendation and with 90% of the recommendation. However, we are currently doing a study where we are comparing, you know, alpha-galactosidase. In this trial that we just finished this week, we were looking energy, but also we were looking amino acids. And in this research, we were comparing 100% and 90% of the recommendations. What we have observed in our previous trial is that there are an improvement of 2 to 3 points of improvements in feed conversion when we use the alpha-galactosidase. And also we see some improvements in amino acid digestibility. That will be around 3%. And also we observe some improvements in ileal digestibility. However, the major improvements we observe in diets that are reducing energy and reducing amino acids.
No, it makes sense because, I mean, there's certainly the direct impacts of the energy. But then, I mean, we know with these galacto-oligosaccharides, there's a lot of indirect impacts as well on, you know, just the water retention and the overall energy and nutrient utilization. So let's back up a little bit on the negative control. You mentioned, you know, generally looking around 100 kcal. So, I mean, in a typical enzyme study, you have a positive control, a negative control, and then you add the enzyme and see if you can get back or exceed the positive control. I mean, with the modern broiler genetics, I mean, this is a big conversation about how sensitive they are to energy. Are you seeing pretty consistent the separation between a positive control and a negative control of 100 kcals? Of course, it's all dependent on where you're starting point too from your positive control. But can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. We, you know, like it's very interesting. And you know, in every single trial that we have conducted, when you look the positive control and the negative control, and the negative control sometimes is like a 100 kcal lower energy, and then sometimes it's 130 kcal. And what we have observed in those trials is that when you reduce the energy 20 to 25 kcal, you lose 1 point in feed conversion. So yeah, when you compare the positive control with the negative control, you are going to see about 5 points difference in feed conversion. So yeah, you can clearly see those differences. But also, you know, like these modern broilers also are very sensitive to the amino acid content.
Yeah, sure.
In this trial that we just finished, and this is just you know, no stats yet, but we had like some birds that they had low energy and low amino acids, and then their average body weight was around 8.7 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And then the positive controls were like over 10.5 pounds. So these birds are very sensitive to energy and amino acid changes.
Yeah.
But something that I think is important that we do is that when we are running these trials, we also control the amount of fat in the mixer, because you're going to see like the positive control is going to have more fats, right, added. So we basically control the same level of fat in the mixer, and then we use post-pelleting addition just to maintain the same pellet quality across the treatment and avoid that confounding effect.
No, I think that's a, you know, again, we're biased here, but that's a real nice capability of our mill to be able to kind of do things like that. And because that always is an issue, these big discrepancies in fat when you have such a large difference in. I mean, sometimes it's hard even on paper to get that, again, depending on where you start, to get that reduction for the negative control. But
yeah,
as you mentioned, certainly on the amino acids, you know, that's a looking at 90%, 96%, you said. I mean, those are pretty big reductions relative to we know how the bird responds to amino acids. That's probably coming with some differences in soybean meal. Are you seeing like changes in, you know, litter quality, water consumption, those types of things across your diets at all, or in response to the enzymes?
Yeah, we don't really measure water consumption because we have the capabilities in our research facilities, but we cannot measure like in the houses where we use these trials, we cannot really measure water consumption. But yes, you see like improvements in foot pad dermatitis when you use these enzymes, because they help you out, you know, to improve nitrogen retention. Then you are going to have less nitrogen excretion in the litter, which in combination with high moisture content is going to lead to foot pad dermatitis.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, it's, you know, enzymes are certainly the as you mentioned, with the heat stability of the modern generation of the enzymes. I mean, you know, again, every enzyme is different. But, you know, just broadly speaking for that industry and technology, I mean, we have really good products available on the market, it seems. And so there's a lot of options for nutritionists out there.
Yes.
Join us at the International Production and Processing Expo, IPPE, 2025 in Atlanta on January 28th through 30th, 2025, where Kerry's innovative feed technologies take center stage. You will discover how animal performance solutions have been transforming global agribusiness in digestive performance, intestinal and microbiome health, and feed processing and preservation. Come explore Kerry's animal performance innovations and join Happy Hour hosts at our booth from 3 to 5 p.m. on January 29th.
Anything else you want to add about the work you've been doing in this area?
Well, we have been doing some research also with silanases, and also, you know, the same. We can see like a nice response in, you know, improvements in energy utilization when you use silanase. And then also in that research, we also evaluate gut viscosity. And then you can clearly see that as you add more silanase into the diets, there is a reduction in gut viscosity, which is also one of the benefits.
Yeah. And that's even with a corn diet.
Well, no, that's with a wheat-based diet.
Ah, wheat-based diet. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have the substrate there.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. And is that looking at a complete corn replacement with wheat or just a partial wheat inclusion?
complete replacement. And that's what, you know, like that's what happens sometimes even in the U.S. I remember when I was in the feed mill in North Carolina, and there was a lot of local wheat production. Then we will transition to 100% wheat, and that's, you know, a perfect scenario to use silanase enzymes.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we look forward to seeing, you know, some of these publications continue to come out on your work on enzymes, and you know, I'm sure you're going to continue to be a big resource for the industry on enzyme stability in addition to these nutritional responses. So appreciate all the work that you're doing there.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
Well, thanks again, Wilmer. It's great talking with you. And thanks to all the audience for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us some feedback. If you want to make sure to catch the next episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt podcast, please be sure to subscribe and catch the next one. And until then, best of luck and thanks again, Wilmer, for all your help. All right. Thanks, Wilmer.
Thank you.